Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're celebrating today and this whole week the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. This past Sunday was a solemnity in which the church worldwide celebrates and declares and rejoices in the fact of Jesus' victory over the powers of sin and death, Jesus establishing a kingdom, Jesus bringing about a new creation, and humanity has a future because we have a king who has blazed a trail and created a future for us, an eternal future to share in the glory that belongs to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is such a spectacular reality. And friends, it's so important for us to celebrate Jesus' kingship and to take up, you know, as I said yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, looked at the second reading from Sunday, that in the celebration of that solemnity, and a little bit from the gospel. And it's a description of John the prophet. Many think it was John the apostle, you know, the author of the book of Revelation. There's some debate about that, but fundamentally it's God's word. It's God's inspired word. And the John who's present there is, you know, praying on the Lord's day. He's on the island of Patmos. As he's praying in the Lord's day, the Spirit of God comes on him and gives him revelation. And here he is, a shepherd of seven churches. And he's praying because these seven churches are small churches in what's, I guess, northern Turkey, that is what you call it. That's where they were located. And these seven churches represent in many ways now the many and complex ways the church exists in time and history, and what she struggles against, where her victories are. When she's in compromise, there's different churches are in different conditions, and he's their shepherd, John, and he's praying for them. He's concerned about them. And many of them are in very difficult situations. They're suffering. Some are being thrown in jail. Some are being martyred. And he's praying and he's concerned. And the Lord comes to strengthen John in the midst of this trial and tribulation. He begins the book of Revelation where he talks about his condition. He's praying. He said, "I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation, the kingdom, and the patient endurance." I've talked about this on the program many times over the last few years because it's a glimpse into what is always the condition of the church between the two comings of Jesus to one degree or another. There are certain times there's less tribulation, you might say, less struggle, spiritual battle. The spiritual battle always exists, but there's times of great intensification in different parts of the world. We've read about it, we've seen it, and in some ways we're beginning to experience it more now with greater intensification in our own lives. And John knows who he is, and he knows who he's in communion with in the churches that he's leading. And he says, "Here's what I share, your pastor, your shepherd, here's what I share with you. I share with you the tribulation. We're all experiencing this, but we're also sharing in the kingdom, that is the kingship of Jesus, the power of the kingdom of God, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is with them, present, leading, strengthening." And so it gives him strength to what he then says, to patiently endure, to hold the ground, to not give up and give in, to back away, but to understand that, as Jesus said so clearly in John's gospel, he said, "In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." He could say, we are overcomers, so we need to be patient. We can't leave our post. We can't compromise with the world. We can't just go find a place to hide. But instead, we know, because we're the light of the world, and what is the light of the world? What does it mean to be the light of the world? That is to know the truth about who God is, what God has accomplished in Jesus, that we're born again by water and the Spirit. Now we become temples of the living God, and the light, the fire of the Spirit is present in our lives individually, corporately in the church. And the church is a light because it's bearing witness to the truth. One of the titles that was touched on yesterday in the reading was that Jesus is the faithful witness. Now, this is what each one of us now who are baptized into Jesus are baptized into, this same calling. And we're called to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and imitate him. And one of the ways we imitate him is to live as faithful witnesses. Jesus said, "I've come to bear witness to the truth." And now what your life and my life is about is to also understand ourselves to be called to be faithful witnesses, to bear witness to the truth about what God has accomplished in Jesus, the good news of God, the gospel, of what has been accomplished in and through Jesus. And we're able to bear witness with strength and endure trials and difficulties if we really are living with the Lord and understand who He is and what He thinks about us. We understand that He's the Lord, that the victory's already won, that the new creation has begun, absolutely unstoppable, and God's plan, it's going to reach its fullness when He returns again. He's going to establish fully His kingdom, and all who die in Him are going to share in that kingship. And we have light. We can bear witness to the truth that all the suffering we see around us, all the trials, tribulations of our personal lives, the corporate reality in the world, however it's being expressed, the troubles that we face, all of it is temporary. And none of it's going to have an ultimate victory over those who die in Christ. Because we're already united to the full victory that belongs to Christ. That is, we're united to the new humanity, to the new creation. It's already begun in us, the apostles remind us. And so, as we see Christ, as our hearts and minds, as St. Paul would say, you know, he prayed that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, so we can see the hope to which we're called. This is critical. And at the beginning of the book of Revelation here, this John, who is praying and crying out for the seven churches that he's shepherding and seeking wisdom on how to pastor and what to do, and he's struggling as anyone would. But what happens when you cry out to God? Even in our weakness, God comes. And he reveals to John the first step to the solution that God has for the seven churches and for John's life and for each one of us. What's God's answer? How does God strengthen John? He strengthens John by giving him a revelation, by unveiling through the work of the Holy Spirit, the person, the majesty, and the greatness of Jesus. He has a vision of who Christ is, and it's described in chapter 1. It says, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, like a voice," he said, "of rushing waters was speaking to him." It was Christ himself who was speaking to John. And he said, "And turning, I saw seven golden lampstands," which represent the seven churches themselves. "And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man." This is kind of taken as well from the book of Daniel, talks about the Messiah and the Lord in this kind of vision and terminology. He said he was clothed with a long robe, like the robe of a great priest or a high priest, and had a golden sash across his chest, a sign of his majesty. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. He's the Ancient of Days. His eyes were like a flame of fire. That's the fire of God's love. God is love. God's love is a furnace of fire. You know, it talks about having a river of fire that flows from the throne of God, the intense purifying fire of God's love and God's creative power. It's in a person, it's in Jesus, and his eyes are flaming, and nothing escapes his gaze. He can't be duped, he can't be fooled. He sees everything as it actually is right at its core. And that fire is the fire both of God's purification, it's a fire of God's love that brings us from death to life, gives us our heart of fire. Jesus came to cast fire on the earth. He said, "Would that it were already ablaze." And this is what the church is meant to be, a blazing fire. Human beings' hearts set on fire with the love of God and the love of neighbor, but a purifying fire that also burns away everything in us that hinders us from loving God and walking in the mission that he's given to us. His feet were like burnished bronze and refined in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. St. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talks about the commission that was put on Paul, but on the church, to proclaim the gospel, the good news of God, to the world. This amazing reality, not the rules of God, not just the commandments of God, those things are very important, but what the good news is about this person. The good news is to see what God has done in and through Jesus and the reality that Jesus now lives in, that we share in through baptism. And this is our destiny. And so this becomes the source of what, again, Paul was praying for in our regard, that we would know the hope to which we're called. And when we know that hope, we see it's our inheritance, he then goes on to say. And then when we begin to see Jesus, the reality of who he is, Paul said, we begin to grasp the immeasurable greatness of his power that's in us. One of the reasons the church seems so powerless and there's so little zeal and courage and a living hope that's expressed in the church is because so few people are seeing Jesus in this way and experiencing living in a relationship with him and in him and receiving the love. He said, as the Father loves me, so I love you. And as Jesus loves the Father loves us just the way the Father loves Jesus. And being able to see who it is who loves us changes everything. We begin to see by his desire for us and his actual burning love for us and the plan and the way he has made for us, this changes, friends, our own self-understanding, our self-image, our self-awareness, the value, what we value about ourselves. It's the most dignifying, animating, beautiful thing that a human being can ever walk in, is to know that this gaze, this Lord, loves me. He's come to draw me into his victory and his glory. That stuff can just, we can hear that. And it can go off us like water off a duck's back, friends. It doesn't penetrate unless we do as Jesus said, abide in me. Come and talk to me. Come live with me. Listen to me. Listen to my word. Let me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, widen your hearts and minds and give you eyes to see, so that you can understand yourself differently. You can see things as I see things. You can feel things as I, the way I feel things. And you can walk in my footsteps and become like me, a living sign, a light, a source of genuine hope in a world that lives without hope. So John gets a vision of who Jesus is. And he goes on to say in verse 17, when I saw him, I fell to his feet as though dead. This is, happens. There's different images, different experiences in, throughout the scripture that describe what happens when a human being just begins to encounter in some way the holy, the holiness of God, the utter otherness of God, and his power and his beauty and his glory. It's profoundly humbling and it's overwhelming, and human beings can't handle it. And so he falls to the ground as though dead, he said. But the Lord laid his right hand upon me, he said, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last, I'm the living one. I have died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. So Jesus gives John a revelation of his absolute being, you might say, and his victory over the powers of sin and death, and his full existence beyond death. He gets a picture of it. He gets an experience, an experiential knowledge of it. He receives it in faith. This gives him the confidence to know that even though there's trouble in the churches and we experience our own weakness, we have to lift our eyes to the heavens where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And this is what the church celebrates, and this is what the church wants to help bring us into, is a fuller revelation of the Lordship and Majesty of Christ in each one of our lives. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.